welcome to our minisodes on agents with our agent assistant, Alice Hoskins. Thank you so much for joining us today, Alice.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's lovely to meet you, Alice. Would you mind introducing yourselves to our listeners, please?
Of course. So I'm Alice Hoskins and I work with literary agent Sophie Lambert at C&W Agency, which some listeners might know as Cumberland Walsh, as it was previously known, and it's part of the Curtis Brown Group. I joined C&W in January 2022 after a few years working in the theatre, film, TV and education industries, respectively, as a freelancer.
And I'm so excited about these minisodes, and I know they're going to be so helpful to so many of our listeners and probably to us as well. So thank you. So without further ado, let's get cracking. Right. Welcome to Minisode 2. Today, we're chatting about subbing into agents, which I know will be a popular listen. How many does an agent receive each week or month, would you say?
So I think it varies quite a lot between non-fiction and fiction. I would say that the agents who primarily represent fiction will receive, hundreds a week. I'm watching, as I said in the previous minisode, Sophie has the first look at all of her manuscripts and her submissions. But I think for most of my colleagues, the submissions inbox rarely dips below 100, no matter how, how much time they're kind of spending. It is actually extraordinary. And if it's amazing seeing when one of our agents reopens their submissions, if they've closed them for a holiday or something like that, how quickly authors, have obviously been keeping tabs on that and then send the day that they open their submissions, which is brilliant because it shows that you've actually been keeping an eye and that you genuinely want to submit to that agent. But at the same time, it's often like you're really in a
deluge.
I mean, it's worth noting that if you are listening to this in September of 2023, then Sophie's inbox is currently open for submission. Yes. But get your picture right first, because this.
Yes, one chance, people. Yes.
Exactly. Alice, what are some of your do's and don'ts for aspiring authors when they're submitting their manuscripts to an agent?
So I think a lot of it rides on the pitch letter. I think people actually overlook it, and it might not seem like the most important thing, but the truth is that agents really do pay attention to that. And I think they can really inform how an agent would approach reading your submission. Because if you haven't really invested the time in the pitch letter, if there are typos and spelling mistakes, or you've just, I've read a lot which open with "Dear Sirs," Who are the sirs? Where are the sirs? There aren't many sirs in publishing. But, make sure you've actually got the right person. So those kind of basics, but also actually to enjoy the process of writing it creatively and convincingly. I think it doesn't just need to be the basics. You can also prove your writing prowess in an agent letter just as much as you can in your submission. I also think being really specific about why you've chosen a particular agent to approach. I think it's important that we know that, at least mention that, but also don't just sort of quote an agent's bio on the website. I've seen that you're interested in this list of things, and funnily enough, I can do all of those things. But actually, maybe reference some of the authors that you've really enjoyed from an agent's list to show that you've really actually done your research. I'd also say think about comps quite carefully, and actually where your book does sit in the market, to show that kind of that you're a bit market savvy and you have that sort of awareness. Is it really the next Sorrow and Bliss? Is it, ask yourself that, and actually whether you could be more specific or kind of explain why. I think also, something that Sophie always says is when she's talking to authors is that she wants them to think about the kinds of conversations that readers will be having when they've put a book down, and actually to have that kind of awareness. What do you actually want a reader to get out of this book? What made you write it? Why are you the person to write it? Which I quite like as well. And on the other hand, with nonfiction proposals, it's kind of why you and why now and why this? Just asking those questions and then answering them before we have the chance to ask them, and before we envisage a publisher asking them as well.
That's so really interesting.
It's all about the research, isn't it? And checking the website and the guidelines and everything.
Yeah.
So would you say not to go for kind of big comps if people, when people are looking for, I know often people put in, oh, it's, you know, it's like The Girl on the Train when they're, you know, writing, if they've written a psychological thriller. Would you say avoid that and try and go for something a bit more specific?
I think you can use those big ones. I think the best format for me is it's Girl on the Train meets X, and seeing, and therefore that's the gap that it fills, if that makes sense. It's kind of spotting those gaps and trying to present why you're the author and the novel to fill them. But yeah, I think also just actually attach the PDF or the Word document or the right version of it.
We've all done that, Alice.
But now Outlook tells you and it says, have you failed to attach something here? Which is, I think, is the best invention of maybe the last 5 years.
And what for you makes a manuscript really stand out or go in the, I mean, I know you've mentioned a couple of a couple of examples where it goes straight in the bin, but is there anything else you can think of that would make it either really stand out or go in the bin?
Well, we don't just put things straight in the bin. But I think it is, of course, completely subjective. So my opinion might be completely different to somebody else's. But I think there are some essentials that you want to have covered to give yourself the best chance. One of those being openings and introductions. And I think agents and agents' assistants are so pressed for time that you really do need to fall for something head over heels in the first couple of pages, the first few pages, so that you want to prioritize reading that manuscript and put everything else aside for the day and just reschedule everything and just sit with that. It should give you that feeling, which we all know, obviously, when you first fall in love with a novel or a book, and you're just like, I don't want to do anything but read this. So trying to hook us in with a fantastic, gripping, really clean, really honed opening. And I think the synopsis to me doesn't matter as much as it might to some other agents or agents' assistants. I know a lot of people place a lot of focus on that to see how good an author might be at plot and structure. And whereas for me, I think those are very editable, workable feats. You don't have to have, you know, I think a novel will change so much during the editorial process that doesn't need to be fixed at that point necessarily. I think just clarity and character and giving us reasons to really truly invest in someone. Like, why do we need to know this story? What does this person want? Who is this? All those questions that you want to be demanded to ask, basically, when you're reading a book. Just really tight and polished. And like it's in the most perfect shape that it can be before you approach an agent, I think. Yeah.
That's a really good answer. I'm just going to jump in with another question because this used to really bother me. But the synopsis has to be one page. If it's 1.5 pages,
I think that's okay.
Is that going to be okay? Like, I think I understand not 8 pages, but 1.5? Or size 8 font?
I don't envy writing synopses. I find I just don't think I would be able to do it. It's such an art.
Mine are now like 10 pages long. Like, I never try and get it onto one page.
You know what I used to do when I was submitting? I used to use an extra small font so I could
I think I enlarged margins. I think I was get
everything in the header as well. Yeah, it's so funny.
And sort of keep, you know, what do you choose to reveal that you kind of want to keep us still interested without, but you have to reveal every, I mean, it's just impossible, basically.
Yeah.
Another reason why I sort of take them with a pinch of salt, and I think if someone can write, they can write, they don't need to write the best synopsis I've ever read.
That's good.
Someone else might.
Yes. And can you just run us through the process of, so what happens when you find a manuscript that you fall in love with?
So Sophie will send me an email saying, please, could you have a look at this? I like the sound of it or something. And then I will start reading it. I feel like I can tell very quickly whether I'm falling in love with a book. And generally, I will then message Sophie straight away and say, I think this is really good. And then she's like, great, please keep reading. And I'll keep reading and then put together more of a sort of report. I think we've developed a kind of shorthand at this point. I think when I first started, a bit like with the synopsis, it would be like, here's a 2-page Word document, which will tell you everything you could possibly need to know about it. Whereas I think when you really do fall in love with something, there's a degree of urgency that you apply. And also I think you can tell when something's going to be really hot, as they say. And it's, yeah, so that's, so I would send that to Sophie and then she would read it and then we'd hopefully call in the full and hopefully we'd get that and then read that very, very quickly. And then obviously there might be other agents interested. And then there's a beauty contest, as they call it, which you find.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. And a slightly stressful way of putting it. High stakes. That's sort of the process. But it's a very exciting feeling when you find something that's truly brilliant and you just want to act as quickly as you can to make sure you get that author, basically.
That's all we've got time for in today's minisode. Thank you so much for answering all our questions, Alice. And join us next week, listeners, where we'll be asking all the other questions that you want to know.